This is Jay Sekulow, exclusive analysis, Congressman Eric Swalwell, and a communist China spy.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The House Democrats still have not done anything about it. I mean, let me tell you, if Kevin McCarthy was Speaker of the House, he would have removed any Republican if this happened to them.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It's long past time for Nancy Pelosi to put country over her political party and remove Eric Swalwell from the House Intelligence Committee.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, how do you start this one without saying I have personal experience with this, which I do? Because Eric Swalwell was one of the lead protagonists of the attempted impeachment of Donald Trump as President of the United States, which, of course, resulted in an acquittal. But he's now himself caught up in a scandal involving a Chinese agent, apparently, not only ties to the Communist Party, but actually worked for the Communist Party and in their intelligence department. This is the guy, and I want to play the first bite, Will, that just to show what Eric Swalwell, the congressman, who was nasty during these process. I mean, he was one of the most obnoxious. And let's play the most poignant bite about what Eric Swalwell accuses the president of the United States of.
Stated plainly, the president's son met with a Russian spy. We now have the best evidence of that in our minority report the Democrats put out, that Ms. Veselnitskaya was going all over the world. Now we know that she was working at the behest of the Russian government. The president's son, Nicole, met with a Russian spy.
The president's son, Nicole, that was Nicole Wallace, met with a Russian spy. Met with. Eric Swalwell, I'm not going to get into the details of the relationship, didn't just meet once with a Russian agent or a Chinese agent, but had an ongoing relationship, long-term, friends, whatever, I'm not going to get into the other, fundraiser. She was a college student, but was a bundler for his campaigns. Now, Than, our director of government affairs in Washington, Swalwell was very difficult on a whole host of issues, not the least of which was the impeachment. But how, you worked in a congressional office, how often did you have, let's say, college students operating as bundlers for your campaign?
Yeah, never, Jay. The answer is never. And look, the hypocrisy knows no bounds here. You talked about this known Chinese agent now fundraising for Eric Swalwell. Also, it looks like she placed an intern inside his office. And, you know, Jay, just to tell you how sweeping it appears this has been, when they had to step in and do a defensive briefing to Congressman Swalwell, he says that Chairman Schiff and Speaker Pelosi knew about it at that time. Now, look, you know, maybe he's not removed from the House at that point, but, Jay, at that point, that is when Eric Swalwell should have been removed from the House Intelligence Committee. But what did Democrat leadership do, Jay? They left him on that committee and left him with access to sensitive intelligence, sensitive information. And they left him there, Jay, throughout the entire impeachment proceeding when the accusations that he leveled were exactly what he was found to be doing.
I will tell you what he was doing at that exact time. He was impeaching the president of the United States. And using as an example, Wes, that we only have a minute here, that Donald Trump Jr. had a meeting with a person who they did not know was a Russian agent. And it was a meeting that lasted, I think, 15 minutes.
Yeah, and Than's right. Hypocrisy in this case knows no bounds. You know, he accused Don Jr. of meeting with a Russian agent. Some of the allegations are that he had an ongoing romantic relationship with a Chinese agent, someone who works for...
There's allegations. I don't know if any of that's been proven.
But. Well, a long-term relationship anyway. And she worked for the Ministry of State Security, which is a civilian spy agency for the Chinese Communist Party.
That is the part that, to me, is the irony of ironies in all of this. All right, we're going to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And we're getting to the bottom of this, and we'll tell you what legal action the American Center for Law and Justice is going to take, including the beginning of a FOIA request. I'm holding a draft of it in my hand. So we don't just talk about the issues on this show, we actually deal with them. And that's why your support of the ACLJ right now is so critical. ACLJ.org, our matching challenge campaign. Help us fight back to get to the bottom of these things. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so the suspected foreign agent is named Christine Fang, who also went by Fang Fang, targeted a lot of local politicians in the San Francisco Bay Area, including Congressman Eric Swalwell. And Wes Smith was just telling me during the break, and by the way, if you're watching on any of our social media platforms, including YouTube that we're now on, we want to encourage you to subscribe. So hit the subscribe button and hit that bell next to it so you'll be notified when we're on the air. This agent posed as a college student, yet was, as Sathan just said, placing an intern in Eric Swalwell's office.
Right, and she was involved not only with politicians in California, mainly the San Francisco area, she was also involved with at least two mayors in the Midwest. She was quite active in trying to get close to politicians, especially those who had the potential for national prominence. Swalwell was one of those, and of course was involved with him even after he was elected to Congress. And apparently, and I did not know this till I started reading the reports, but apparently she was pretty good at getting Chinese nationals placed as interns in various government offices. That is crazy. When do we start putting Chinese nationals in government offices as an intern?
Hey, Rick Rennell is joining us, of course, our special advisor on these kind of issues, including national intelligence. Rick served as the acting director of National Intelligence, DNI. Rick, this guy was the chief protagonist of the president during the impeachment hoax, and now we've got him in the middle of this China situation. Well, what's your sense of this as you look at it?
Look, I actually am really concerned because for years Eric Swalwell has really taken the Beijing line and pushed it publicly, and the Beijing line has always been don't fear China, be more open to us, engage with us. And look over there because the bigger problem is Russia. And the number one person pushing that Chinese line was Eric Swalwell. And I think you could also argue Adam Schiff. But the problem that we've now seen over the last several years with Chinese spies infiltrating politicians is the theme is San Francisco. It happened to Dianne Feinstein. It's happened now to Eric Swalwell, who's in the San Francisco Bay Area. We also know that Nancy Pelosi really downplayed COVID-19 in the very beginning and told people to go to Chinatown. She went herself. She has also pushed the Russia, Russia, Russia line. Look, let's be very clear. Russia is a problem for the United States, but China is a crisis. And anyone who tries to pretend that China isn't an unfolding crisis is really playing to the Beijing line, and we got to get to the bottom of why these people are pushing so hard to push the communist Chinese line.
You know, one of the things, Andy, I was thinking about is the fact that, and it's kind of following up what Rick said, is that the congressman became their primary, well, not the only, but certainly a booster of the China relationship.
Well, yeah, that was exactly what the purpose of Fang Fang was in doing what she did. She became a head of two student groups at California State University, and then she used her position to gain access to political events and fundraisers, including Swalwell.
Yeah, but Rick, I'm trying for the life of me figure out how no one until later on recognized that this college student was a bundler. And for those of you that don't know, a bundler is someone that works with a variety of donors, puts money together for candidates. How did they not figure out how this college student at one of the University of California campuses in San Francisco was able to do this?
Well, first of all, let's be honest about the problems that we have, which is not just the problem of communist Chinese infiltrating politics, but academia. It's a really big problem. So I think the answer is it's easy when you have the combination of academia, politicians, money, and San Francisco. This is the problem of the Chinese consulate in San Francisco. It is a bastion of spies, and let's just be really honest about it. And we also need to be clear that Eric Swalwell is only the tip of the iceberg. The Chinese have decided as a strategy to go after not only academia in the United States, but our politicians at the local level, at the state level. We're talking about governors, we're talking about local politicians, and we're talking about members of Congress. This has been going on for a long time, and it got worse during the COVID-19 crisis, when we realized that we were beholden to Chinese PPE. The supply chain that we, over the last 10 years, have given up to China came home and became a huge problem when we suddenly needed a whole bunch of PPE for COVID-19, and China was leveraging their collection of it over politicians who would criticize them.
Let me ask you this. We've got our office in Washington is working on right now. I'm actually holding a draft of it in my hand, a Freedom of Information Act request to your old office, Director of Information Management Division, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, to get documents related to this. But I want to focus on something you just said, because I think it's important for people to say this. This is an example. This is just an example of what the Chinese are up to. We've had the whole thing in the Houston, their consulate there. We've had, as you said, San Francisco, you called a bastion of spying. But let me take it one step further. Eric Swalwell served and serves on the Intelligence Committee. I mean, he's currently on those committees. Of course, he ran for President of the United States, and he wrote a book called Endgame, Inside the Impeachment of Donald Trump. Which is interesting, since, you know, one of the pieces of evidence they used was a, you know, 15-minute meeting at Trump Tower with the supposed Russian agent, who may well have been a Russian agent, who knows. You would probably know, and your office would have known. But that was a 15-minute meeting. This was a multi-year relationship, Rick.
Look, Eric Swalwell has had access to incredibly sensitive classified information through the Intelligence Committee. And for him to downplay the China threat so consistently by overplaying the Russia threat is a real serious problem. And while transparency is really important, I'm very sensitive to the fact that there is classified information that we have to be sensitive about. But that doesn't stop the Senate Intel Committee or the House Intel Committee from having a classified briefing behind closed doors, away from the public. But let's let the Intelligence Committee look at all of this information involving Eric Swalwell and others, and look at the evidence of what kind of a crisis we're in with China. This needs to be done. Lastly, I'll just say, this concept of the Gang of Eight, which is the leadership of the Intel community of committees, and then the leadership of both the House and the Senate political parties, this Gang of Eight, I think, needs to be done away with. It's not working. We need to have briefings for all members of Congress, all senators, not just a select few that seem to be holding the information and doing nothing with it. So I've been talking to a number of senators over the last, you know, months when I was at DNI, and there's a clear concern about the Gang of Eight and what they do when they get these briefings. They're holding it too close to their chest. I think that we need to go to the Intelligence Committee members themselves, brief all of them. So, Marco Rubio, who's the acting Intel Senate Committee Chair, he should hold a classified briefing, and Adam Schiff on the House side should hold a full committee classified briefing away from the press, away from the public, and dig deep into all of this information to make sure we have other eyes on it.
Yeah, so Marco Rubio said if named as chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, he plans to hold public hearings on this agent and Chinese espionage as soon as possible in the new year. Jim Sensenbrenner has also filed, wants to open up an investigation regarding the ethical issues around this. Should Eric Swalwell stay on these committees, Rick?
I don't think that he should stay on the House Intel Committee. He should be immediately removed. But I also wouldn't wait for public hearings. I think that the committees should go into classified settings immediately themselves and get this briefing, because the reality is this is not just about Eric Swalwell.
All right. Thank you very much. Rick Grinnell, of course, a senior advisor to the American Center for Law and Justice on issues like national security, and former acting DNI and ambassador. Jeremy, Rick, thanks for being with us. Really quickly here, I want to go to Fan on this. I go back because this is obviously, and we'll talk more about this when we come back. I'm going to get into what we're going to do. But Fan, I'm thinking about what Wes said, what Rick said, Andy has said some of it as well, and that is this idea of interns in the office that are affiliated with the Chinese government.
It's just crazy, Jay, and to think that Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Schiff knew about that and did nothing about it is almost unthinkable. Jay, I would just tell you this, though. Rick is so correct about getting rid of the Gang of Eight, and here's just one example why. You know who the two individuals were involved with making sure that Swalwell kept his seat on the committee? Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Schiff. What do they have in common? Two things, Jay. They're both from California, so they both might have a connection here, and they are both a part of the Gang of Eight. Jay, it's time to expand that out.
Hey, if you're on our social media platform, stay with us. I want to talk to you during the break. Radio, obviously, you're going to a commercial break. But if you're on Facebook, YouTube, or whatever other device or platform you're listening to, stay tuned. I want to talk to you directly. Hey, folks, support the work of the ACLJ. When we come back, I keep saying it, but we are going to get to it. We've got a draft already of a Freedom of Information Act request. Our Government Accountability Project at the American Center for Law and Justice is going to be working on that, is working on that right now. So ACLJ.org if you want to support the work. And we're in a matching challenge campaign about halfway there for the month. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment. If you're on our social media platforms, don't go away.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. That's the Christmas album from the Jay Sekulow Band, which I think is now back on wherever you buy your music. What's the title of the album? I forgot the title of the album. I should know that. We'll get it, and we'll give it to you. Let me tell you what we're doing on this, because I think it's important for you to know, and that is our government affairs team has gone into action already. Now, before we get into the specifics, Colonel Smith, how serious is this situation?
It's very serious. As a member of the Intel Committee, he is privy to some of the nation's most sensitive top secrets, something that the average congressman does not have access to. He does. And so I have a number of questions about this, as do you, but I wonder how much information did he share with Fang Fang, either advertently or inadvertently, that impacts national security. The FBI says that there, at any given time, there are about 5,000 counterintelligence investigations going on in the United States. Over half of them are somehow connected to the Chinese Communist Party. And so I have questions about what he shared, even if he didn't mean to, and the impacts of this on national security. And Nancy Pelosi, as recently as yesterday, is still standing behind his position on the Intel Committee, where he has access to so many government secrets for the United States.
You know, I didn't point this out, but Swalwell has some really, he's made nasty statements about yours truly. He's made nasty statements about our senior advisor on national intelligence, Rick Grenell, and now he's the one caught up in this. Let me play a little flashback here for you with Eric Swalwell and Russiagate.
The question has shifted from whether the president is working with the Russians to what evidence exists that the president is not working with the Russians.
He's betrayed our country, and I don't say that lightly. I worked as a prosecutor for 7 years, and
betraying the country. By the way, we want evidence before you say that. But you said an agent of Russia.
Yeah, he works on their behalf.
Do you still believe that the president is a Russian agent?
I think he acts on Russia's behalf, and he puts Russia's interests ahead too often of America's interests.
You're a member of judiciary. Do you believe the president right now has been an agent of the Russians?
Yes, I think there's more evidence than
agent.
He is. Yes, and I think all the arrows point in that direction, and I haven't seen a single piece of evidence that he's not.
Okay, so I'm going to go to Andy Economo, because this is the former, you know, Swalwell says he's a former prosecutor, and, you know, he's decided the president was a Russian agent, except only problem is Robert Mueller couldn't conclude that. In fact, Robert Mueller couldn't even conclude that the campaign did anything with the Russian government, had any relation with the Russian government. But put that on the side, he was completely proved wrong, and the president, of course, was acquitted. Swalwell was one of the folks involved in trying to go after the president. But you listen to what he said. He's a Russian agent. The president was, coordinating with the Russia, was advocating their position. We're going to get some of the audio of what Swalwell said about the Chinese, how our relationship should, and you heard it from Rick Grenell. But isn't this ironic?
Yes. You know, a hit dog barks, as we say in Georgia. Here's a person who has done all and made all these statements and contentions and allegations against the president being a Russian agent. And the irony of it all is that he had working in his office and had a relationship. We don't know what it was, but we're going to find out what it was. A former prosecutor making allegations about the president of the United States, who he himself had a Chinese spy in his office working to get him interns, to raise money for him, and to do all the things that you would expect somebody who was, you know, intimate with him to do. And he was on the Intelligence Committee of the House receiving briefings on things that pertain to national security matters that the average congressman didn't get. So Congressman Sensenbrenner has said, I want an immediate open investigation into allegations that suspected Chinese spy Christine Fang, compromised Swalwell. And Marco Rubio has said that if he becomes chairman of the select committee, he's going to ask for those hearings. You need to. We need to get into evidence. He prides himself, Swalwell does, on being a prosecutor and basing everything that he says on evidence. Well, let's just see what the evidence unfolds with respect to his allegations or his relationship with this Chinese spy.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something about evidence. We're going to get some. And that's why the American Center for Law and Justice, our office, our government accountability project, has already gone into work. Ben Sisney and our team have already done the first draft. Well, Andy and our team will be reviewing it this afternoon, of a Freedom of Information Act request that's going to go to Rick Grenell's former office, the Office of Director of National Intelligence. One of the requests is for all records, communications, briefings created, generated, forwarded, transmitted, sent, shared, saved, received, or reviewed by either former Director of National Intelligence, here we go, James Clapper, or Stephanie O'Sullivan, referencing, connecting to, or regarding in any way Christine Fang or Fang Fang or Fang or Representative Eric Swalwell, including but not limited to any record located on, we have to do this now, backup tapes, archives, and any other recovery, backup, storage, or retrieval system that the Office of Director of National Intelligence would have. We're also asking for, we'll probably be sending this to other agencies as well. They will not respond, especially with this incoming administration, if that's the case, President Trump does not succeed in his challenges and Joe Biden is the president of the United States. So what does that mean? It probably means litigation. But that's exactly what we do. So that's not a problem. But we want to get to the bottom of this, which is also going to take congressional oversight, Fan, because it's serious. But Eric Swalwell, meanwhile, is still on the Intelligence Committee.
Still on the Intelligence Committee, still has access to more classified information than just about any other member of Congress. By the way, Jay, something that he brags about in his book, something that Speaker Pelosi has enabled, something that Chairman Schiff has enabled. But, Jay, you're already seeing members of the House Oversight Committee calling for similar investigations. You're seeing Leader McCarthy saying, look, he's got to be removed off the committee immediately. You also see people like Senator Scott questioning whether or not he should be a member of the House at all. But, Jay, I would tell you this. I think there's sort of two tiers to it, and a lot of it's going to depend on what our FOIA turns up. The people of California elected Congressman Swalwell, but he is not entitled to get more classified information than just about every other member of Congress. His seat on that committee is selected and chosen by Speaker Pelosi and Adam Schiff. Jay, an investigation is fine, and maybe his seat will come into question eventually. But you know what should happen today? He should no longer be trusted with that classified information, and he should be taken off that committee, and Speaker Pelosi could do it today.
We come back from the break. We're going to talk about how that would actually work. How do you do that? How do you get him off that committee? But also, we're going to talk about more about what we're going to do in particular, and then I'm going to play you some audio of Eric Swalwell questioning James Comey, and I'm going to change the person he's asking about and just stick his name in there and see how that sounds. But I wanted to ask you this, Wes, before we go to the break here, and that is, when you look at a situation like this, you handled security information, classified information. You served in the military for a long time as a colonel, finishes up as a colonel. China is a real threat.
Absolutely. It's a geopolitical threat. They are, of course, an oppressive regime. And the fact that a congressman of the United States on the Intel Committee had this relationship is almost unfathomable. I wonder how a freshman congressman got put on the Intel Committee to begin with. But certainly while this investigation is going on, at the very least, while it's going on, he should be removed from the committee until the investigation is complete.
I don't think there's any question about that. We're going to talk more about it. Hey, look, if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you go over to ACLJ.org, you can get it there. You go over to Facebook, you get it there. On J Secular or ACLJ, either one. Or you go over to YouTube and go to the official ACLJ channel and subscribe as well. If you're watching right now, subscribe. You just hit the subscribe button and the bell, and that's a good way to keep engaged. We're taking a one-minute break. We come back. We've got some video we're going to play for you. It's a special report. But again, we've got a lot more to discuss. And don't forget, we're at the halfway point for a matching challenge. You know, we're only 10 days away from Christmas. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate this month, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. Last month was a record. We want to do the same this month as well. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, if you're just joining us, let me encourage you to, if you're on any of our social media platforms that you're watching right now, share this with your friends. We got some great information here. Eric Swalwell is caught up in a Chinagate scandal that apparently a Chinese foreign agent named Christine Fang was posing as a college student at California State University East, but was also able to get interns placed at Eric Swalwell's congressional office, was a financial bundler, meaning she was able to raise money for his campaign from multiple sources. And you ask, how does a college student do that? Had a multi-year friendship relationship. I mean, he took the bait, is what it sounds like. And his office did too. I still cannot figure out how this Chinese spy was able to put an intern in his office.
It's completely irresponsible. It's unthinkable. I mean, I've been in the position of hiring for those positions, been in the position of advising for that. This kind of applicant that would come in, Jay, it would not even get considered. I mean, look, put aside all the other, you know, personal connections. I mean, just geographically, members of Congress are trying to give opportunities to students from their own states. That's just how it worked. This is someone who wasn't even an American, it appears like. But look, I come back to the argument that Congressman Swalwell repeatedly made about the president of the United States being an agent of a foreign government. Jay, here's what I'll tell you sounds like an agent of a foreign government. This is in the report. In 2015, amid a widening counterintelligence probe, federal investigators became so alarmed by Fang's behaviors and activities that they had to, I'll paraphrase here, step in and give Eric Swalwell a defensive briefing. Jay, I cannot believe he had the audacity to go out and be the face of an accusation of being a foreign agent when that had happened inside his own office.
I want to play for you and then get Andy to comment on this. This is Representative Swalwell questioning James Comey. Remember him, former FBI director, in March of 2017. Listen to these questions.
I want to talk about the Kremlin playbook. And there are a number of ways that a foreign adversary could seek to influence a person. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Financial?
Yes, that can be one.
Romance, you said, is another?
Yes.
Compromise?
Correct.
Setting up a compromise?
Sure, to execute on a compromise, yes.
How about inadvertently capturing a compromise? Meaning they have vast surveillance and you stumble into that surveillance and are caught in a compromise.
Right, and then they take that information and try and use it to coerce you? Right. Yeah, that's part of the playbook.
All right, so let's go through this playbook. So let's now take out, I'm going to use the exact language, but we're going to say, I want to talk to you about Chinese government, Communist Party's government in China,
right.
It's playbook, and there are a number of ways a foreign adversary could seek to influence a person. And then he says, do you agree with that? And the answer to that, of course, from James Comey is yes. But isn't that precisely what happened here?
Well, that's exactly what happened. All you got to do is take this colloquy, this question and answer, and instead of Kremlin, put China in there. Just put China or Chinese in there. And you can just say, Comey says, Comey answers him, he asks the question Swalwell does, are there a number of ways that the Chinese could influence a person? He said Kremlin, but I'm saying Chinese now. And Comey says, yes. Financial? Yes, that can be one. Well, what was Fang Fang but a fundraiser for donors for Swalwell? Yes, that can be one. And then Swalwell says, romance, you said, is another? And Comey says, yes. I'm not going to allege anything.
Right, don't.
But, you know, let's be realistic here. Compromise, yes, that's exactly what setting up a compromise, sure, to execute on a compromise, yes. How about inadvertently capturing a compromise, meaning they have vast surveillance and you stumble into that.
And how do we, I mean, we got to find out if she had, this Chinese agent, had surveillance of Swalwell and what he said.
And you know she did.
So why aren't the FBI agents talking to him?
Yeah, or why isn't the New York Times talking about this? Or the Washington Post or NBC?
No, they talk about a 15-minute meeting in Trump Tower that everybody says that was a waste of time when it was the so-called Russian agent. And now you got the Chinese communist spy, and that's okay. All right, we're taking a break. We come back, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. ACLJ has a Freedom of Information Act request going to the Office of Director of National Intelligence. And to the FBI. Back with more on that in a minute. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, so that is from the J Secular Live Band's Christmas album, Hope of Jerusalem, that is available on wherever you get your music. So we encourage you to go there and get a copy. You can download it there. I want to talk about what the ACLJ is doing as it relates to this Eric Swalwell thing. I mean, I dueled. It was like a duel with him. I mean, he was nasty during the impeachment hearings in. And I would go on TV and defending the president, and he, you know, educate all kind of things. I don't know if he was. Well, here's what I want to know: what did Nancy Pelosi know, and when did she know it? What did Nancy Pelosi know as the leader then, and when did she know it then? Because this guy is still serving on the intelligence community; he has not uttered a word about this right now.
Yeah, and two reasons
other
to
than
ask
saying
that
Nancy
question,
Pelosi
Jay.
Was aware.
Yeah, he says that she was aware, and look, I would say that she likely was, first of all, because of her San Francisco connection. I mean, it seems that Fang Fang was very involved in those circles. I bet that Speaker Pelosi knew from there. But Jay, let me walk people just very quickly through how he got this seat on the Intelligence Committee. The way that works is Speaker Pelosi and the Democrat leadership make nominations to the full caucus for who's going to get these seats, and she does it, Jay, with advice from what they call their steering and policy committees. Those two committees have vice chair or co-chairs. The co-chair of the steering committee is Rosa DeLauro. Guess who the co-chair of the policy committee is, Jay? It's Eric Swalwell. So the nominations and the recommendations that were made by Rosa DeLauro and Eric Swalwell go up to Speaker Pelosi and House Democrat leadership, and that's how they determine who has the seats on these committees. Given that dynamic, Jay, do you believe that Speaker Pelosi didn't know? Because I don't.
No, I don't believe that for a minute. We're going to find out a lot of this because we're sending Freedom of Information Act requests first to the Office of Director of National Intelligence. But Ben Sisney from our office in D.C., in Fan's office, just told me that he's also going to send a Freedom of Information Act request to the FBI for all records, communications, or briefings created, generated, forwarded, transmitted, sent, shared, saved, received, or reviewed by, you ready for this famous cast of characters? James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Christopher Wray, Robert Mueller, or any deputy director of the FBI referencing, connected to, regarding anyway, Christine Fang, known as Fang Fang, or Eric Swalwell. That is like the Night of the Living Dead coming back. I mean, that's what did Justice Scalia in one of my cases famously said. It's like a ghoul in a late night horror show that keeps rising from the grave, and you stick a stake in its heart, and they still come back at you. But there they are, the famous cast of characters, and your American Center for Law and Justice is going to find out, because that's what we do. You don't let these things go, especially the duplicity of all this. You can write a book about the duplicity of it. But the reality is, this is a real threat. This guy is serving on the intelligence committee, and he was going after the president, accusing Wes, the president, of being an agent for the Chinese government.
Yeah.
I mean, the Russian government.
You have to wonder.
I wonder, is that while he was an agent for the Chinese government? I mean, and by the way, that's hyperbole, because I wouldn't go around saying things like that, unlike Eric Swalwell, who meant it.
Yeah, whether or not he was an agent, he was involved with someone who was an agent, and that we know. You have to wonder what was going through his mind when he was making all these caustic statements about the Trump administration. I mean, how do you do that with a straight face and without blushing? You know, and contrary to what a lot of people on the left say, including, you know, President-elect Joe Biden, who says, hey, come on, man, China, they're not bad guys. Yes, they are bad guys. This whole issue has tremendous national security implications, Jay. And under normal circumstances, when a congressperson is caught up in this, it would be a showstopper, especially if they were Republican. That would be it. And back to what Than was saying, you know, the Democratic leadership chooses their committee members. McCarthy and the Republican leadership choose their committee members. And correct me, Than, if I'm wrong, but she could simply remove him, you know, simply by saying you're removed.
Right, Than?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, essentially, the caucus would have to affirm it, but Jay, functionally, Speaker Pelosi makes the recommendation and the caucus accepts it.
You know, what's interesting here is that if, in fact, Joe Biden is sworn in on January 20th as the President of the United States with his new Attorney General, let me tell you what they're going to do about Eric Swalwell. Nothing. So that's why we have this theme for 2021, the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ, now more than ever. So we already have our teams working on this. We've got Freedom of Information Act requests going out to the FBI and the Office of Director of National Intelligence. And we're going to get to the bottom of this, and it's going to take work and probably, Andy, in this situation, as we've experienced before, litigation.
Yeah, with a new administration coming in, if we sent out this, and when we sent out, I should say, this Freedom of Information Act request to the National Security Agency, the FBI, the Office of National Intelligence, and probably the State Department, they're going to stonewall us. They're not going to produce any documents. They're going to claim all kinds of exemptions and privileges and so forth. But that's okay. We're used to that. Yep. We know what to do. We go into the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, and we file a suit to enforce this, and we get this information. If it takes forever and a day, we're going to be there asking federal judges to give us this information because we have a right to know, and we, the American Center for Law and Justice, have one thing that's absolutely sure, and that's persistence, and we have the law on our side.
You remember when we unloaded that information about the Obama administration giving money to the son, to an organization the son controlled, Mahmoud Abbas's son, in the Palestinian territories. These are nuggets you find in thousands of pages of documents. There will be nuggets here too. Now, here is what Speaker Pelosi said. This is really important. I want everybody on our social media platform, share this with your friends right now. I'll give you a second to do that. Share this. I want them to hear what Nancy Pelosi has said about this. It's the Speaker of the House. Because Swalwell said she was fully aware of this, yet he served on these committees and ran for president. And, of course, this never came up. Shock. Right? Shock. You don't think there's a deep state? Shock. Here's what Nancy Pelosi said. Share this with your friends, everybody.
In terms of Mr. Swalwell, in the spring of 2015, the leadership of the House and the committee were informed that overtures from a Chinese person were being made to members of Congress. When that was made known to the members of Congress, it was over. You know, that was the end of any communication with those people.
But, you know, fan Rick Rennell just said that you can end the communications with that person, but they've got consulates that are operating a spy. What did he call it? A bastion of spies in San Francisco.
Well, plus a lot of the damage would have already been done, Jay. I mean, if you have members inside a congressional committee working on the committee that work that the congressman is doing, a lot of that information will have already walked away. Jay, the irresponsibility here is just beyond measure. And I just want to point out one other thing. You talked about our FOIA that's going to the ODNI. One of the officials that we're looking for information from, Jay, is Stephanie O'Sullivan. And that name might ring a bell to some of our members because I want to remind them, she is one of the officials that worked directly with James Clapper when at the end of the Obama administration, they worked to expand access to the raw signal intelligence. Mm. We found that in our FOIA, Jay. It's the same names coming back over and over again. And guess who still works there? Stephanie O'Sullivan. Jay, it's all over again.
Here we
go. Same cast of characters.
I mean, this last 4 years went by in a flash because I feel like I'm reliving already the Obama administration. Wes, here we go. Same names.
Obama administration 2.0, it really is. You know, back to Swalwell and him being on the Intel Committee, I remember as an Army officer, which is echelons below a congressperson, we were warned about having deep personal relationships with foreign nationals. And I was only at the secret level. Part of his briefings on the Intel Committee is not just receiving classified material. A part of those briefings, each time the briefings are made, they tell them this is secure information. Here's what you cannot do. Here's how you can be compromised. They warn us about how to conduct ourselves when we're, you know, when we possess this kind of information. So Swalwell not only had the information, he knew that what he was doing with the Chinese nation, he had to know that this was potentially compromising and it was a violation of the standards of conduct for someone at his level.
Yeah, Andy, I'm thinking about this from as a former U.S. attorney, you deal with these things. Obviously, we've dealt with national security interest issues over the last 4 years extensively, but this is... the hypocrisy here is unreal.
That's the thing that just strikes me. Here's a person who's calling the president a Russian agent and is making all these allegations against President Trump in a very nasty way without any evidence to support it, saying that Don Jr. met with a Russian spy. It was facilitated by Velichkanya because they met in the Trump Tower, wherever it was. And yet he has got a Chinese operative in his own office raising money for him, selecting interns for him, doing all the things that a Chinese operative is trained to do out of the consulate in San Francisco with the support of the Speaker of the House, and no one says anything about Swalwell whatsoever. We've got to expose him. Pretty sad.
Yeah, well, the ACLJ is doing it. Those Freedom of Information Act requests are going out this week, and your support of the ACLJ allows us to do that. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate this month, it's matched. Share this with your friends, everybody. We've got a special video coming up that you're going to want to see on our social media platforms. And then I'm going to play you with Salt.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So I want to play for you what Eric Swalwell, he said the president was a, what do you call him, Andy, a Russian agent?
Russian agent.
Yeah, he called him a Russian agent. And this guy has a Chinese operative spy very close to his office and including putting staff in his office. Here's what Eric Swalwell says on MSNBC on July of this year about Chinese, the Chinese government and the Chinese threat.
I'm very concerned, though, that today the president's administration put out a statement that you have China and Russia and Iran, and they're all interfering and gave this false equivalence to them. And, Nicole, this would be like if a meteorologist saw that there was going to be snowflakes in the Rockies, a lightning storm in the Midwest, and a Category 5 hurricane to hit the East Coast and just put out an alert that there's going to be a weather event this weekend. That is the equivalent of what they have done, I think, to politically protect the president.
Saying that the Chinese threat is a false equivalent with the Russian threat. Because the Russian threat is real and the Chinese is not. Wes, your reaction to that?
China is infinitely a much greater threat to the United States than Russia is. Look at what they're doing, their military buildup. They're intent on replacing us as the world's leading superpower. They steal intellectual property. They are oppressing the people of Hong Kong, which is supposed to be a democracy and somewhat independent from them. You know, they are truly a geopolitical adversary, but so much more than that.
Yeah.
And this is not only hypocrisy, Jay. This deal with Swalwell is hypocrisy with serious national security implications. We don't even know what information she took back to China, because when all this hit the fan, she went back to China.
Yeah, and what I wanted to know about that, Andy, and this is what I was going to ask you as former U.S. attorney, shouldn't, and maybe it happened, we just don't know, shouldn't have the FBI question, not just briefed him, but said, what did you tell her?
Yes.
What access did she have information to? What access did this intern have information to?
That's the first thing I thought of when the FBI apparently gave him a heads up, right?
Yep.
And said, you better watch about this. And then he supposedly cut all ties with her after that. I would have said, wait a minute. I want to talk to you, Mr. Swalwell. You come in here, and I'd have had two agents in there, and I'd have said, tell me about Fang Fang. When did you meet her? What did you pay her? Where did you go with her? What relationship did you have with her? Who are the interns that she hired for you? How much money did she raise? Shall I go on? Have I been in a few grand juries in my life? I would say so. I would have had him there for days questioning him. I wouldn't have just let him go and not say anything to him. I would have had him under interrogation, and I would have wanted to find out infinitely more than the FBI did. There again, another failing of the FBI. Should have questioned him, should have gone into great detail about what he knew and what he found out from Fang.
Yeah, oh, sorry, we've got a super chat coming in from YouTube. And if you're on YouTube, let me encourage you, since we're new to YouTube, to subscribe to our official page. It's Official ACLJ. There's about 277,000 of you. I'd love to get that up to 300,000 this month and continue to grow that. So hit subscribe and then hit the bell so you're notified when we're on. So, and of course, share it with your friends. We encourage you to do that on all of the social media platforms. By the way, the graphics guys did a great job. The new graphics look absolutely fantastic. A super chat from James on Facebook says, Eric Swalwell's comments on Russian collusion seem to be very dangerous. He was in a position of power and intelligence making completely false allegations. While will we ever see accountability? And the answer, Than, is yes, because there is now going to be, listen, that's why the Republicans holding the House, the Senate, for investigatory purposes is very important. But let me tell you what we do. We have a whole office at the ACLJ where Than is the head that gets into this stuff. And it's thousands of pages of documents you got to go through to get to the meat. But you get to the meat, but it just takes time. Look what we took the IRS down. I mean, don't forget that. We took the IRS down for what they did to the conservative and Tea Party organizations and the pro-life groups. Took it down. Their whole process had to change. Took years of litigation. You get to the bottom of this stuff. It's frustrating, really frustrating. But you got to stay with it. And it looks like to me Rubio, Senator Rubio, and Sensenbrenner in the House are on this. Man?
Yeah, I think they are, Jay. And look, I mean, progress in both the House and the Senate will definitely depend on who's in leadership, because ultimately they will make a decision on what they focus on. But regardless of which way it is, Jay, we have to be involved in laying a lot of this groundwork. I mean, that's the entire reason that we engage in these FOIA practices. Many times they do take a number of years. We just talked a few minutes ago about the connection between Stephanie O'Sullivan from a previous effort we had and this effort. Jay, sometimes you've got to gather those pieces and have them ready for when congressional oversight is ready to take place. And, you know, I also just think it's worth noting, I mean, James Comey bragged about sending a couple of guys over to talk to an incoming national security advisor about a conversation with foreign officials. Meanwhile, Jay, Eric Swalwell, this is the phraseology of the report. She worked as a bundler for Eric Swalwell, with him and other local candidates, helping him connect with big donors and deepening his ties with target communities, and even successfully planted an intern in his office. Jay, if those were the two sets of facts that you had to consider, which one of those two would you be sending agents over to question?
I mean, I can't understand here, Than. I mean, I just can't. It's unfathomable to me. How? Maybe there's something going on and we don't know. I doubt it. With the FBI, but why are they not all over this? Because this is a serious breach and a serious move, Wes, by the government of China, the Communist Party, to infiltrate right into a congressman's office who sits on the Intelligence Committee.
Yeah, there is a double standard in the media and in the swamp, and apparently at the FBI. I mean, think about that. I was thinking about Michael Flynn this morning. He was interrogated and eventually entrapped, you can say, for making a phone call to a Russian ambassador when he was the incoming, you know, national security advisor. This congressman on the Intel Committee apparently is getting a law enforcement pass.
Yeah, well, here's Eric Swalwell's book, Endgame. It's his inside the impeachment of Donald J. Trump. I'll tell you the end game here is to find out what Nancy Pelosi knew when she knew it. What did Eric Swalwell say? What information did he share? What information did this intern have access to? Who else got this information? How did they not have alarms going off that a bundler was a college student? How did that not just raise all kind of red flags? How did this person successfully get into his office? You talk about a lack of an understanding when he's talking about accusing the president of the United States to be a Russian agent, while he's cavorting with a Communist Party Chinese operative, spy, apparently, who left the country, by the way, shortly after the briefing took place to Eric Swalwell, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, these are the kinds of questions. It was a serious breach on the part of the FBI not to ask those. They probably were acting from orders from someone in the deep state. Don't lean on her too hard. Swalwell's one of our guys. Pelosi's protecting him. We want him on the committee. Stay away. I know how it works. You know how it works. We all know how it works. It's up to us now to expose it.
All right, folks, I want to assure you that the American Center for Law and Justice is on top of that. I'm going to quickly to Than here, and that includes making sure that there's congressional oversight here, Than. We only got a minute left.
Yeah, there needs to be congressional oversight both into the activities of Eric Swalwell. But, Jay, I think even as that it gets underway, I think Speaker Pelosi needs to step up and say, until this is all resolved, he doesn't get access to any more classified information through the Intelligence Committee. I think that's step one, Jay.
Yeah, I completely agree. Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We've got our Office of Government Accountability is going to send out two Freedom of Information Act requests, one to the FBI, one to the Office of Director of National Intelligence, and we're going to start getting information. I suspect we're probably going to have to, anything will be litigating it.
I go to court.
Yeah. We'll probably have to go. They get a certain amount of days, and then we have to go to court. We'll be in federal court on that in Washington. We're there regularly. So this will be nothing new. This is how you have to operate when this stuff is going on. We're going to get to the bottom of it. That's why you support the work of the ACLJ, and it makes a huge difference. We're in a matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Double the amount you give.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.